Welcome back to the Profit Your Knowledge podcast. Today's guest is Michelle Denio. She is a seasoned business growth strategist known for her customized growth and scaling solutions. Something we were talking about before is like, there's so many ways that you can build a business and they all work pretty much. You know, you see the proof with different people and stuff, but finding out how you can really grow and scale your time, which means you're growing your business and your income without having so much involvement and time involved in it. And it's just gonna be cool to kind of hear about how you can approach it your own way. So I'm really excited about this conversation. How you doing, Michelle?
I'm great. How are you? I'm so happy to be here. I love this topic. I love sharing and speaking about this. So I'm super excited. I'm really excited to have this conversation.
Totally. Yeah. This is the good stuff. Scaling, and I think this is so big because before I was doing productivity coaching before I went into like online business stuff. And that just taught me so much about being smart with what I'm doing and saving my time with just kind of daily tasks and everything. So yeah, this is huge because like I was just telling you, I went on a trip over to Florida, which is where you're at. I was right in your neighborhood. I wish I knew you then. I would have said like, let's hang out.
Had coffee or
yeah, something.
Sharkies for a drink, something.
Something. But I was on that trip and I took 10 days off and I was still making money while I was gone. And just picked it back up when I got back. And like, that was my dream for so long. And I just found out a way that it works for me. So we'll talk a bit about that in this episode. And also just like how you're able to do that kind of stuff and help your clients and everything. But before we get into that, I do want to just hear a bit about your story. What made you decide to become an entrepreneur instead of just staying in some normal job? And then how did you get into what you're doing today and working with companies and growth strategies and all that?
Yeah. So they kind of go together and I would say it's fairly accidental, although I don't believe in accidents per se. But my husband and I 10 years ago, actually now, decided to move from New York to Florida. So we're originally from upstate New York. Long story short, we lost a really dear friend very quickly to lymphoma. Unfortunately, he was very young and it just kind of really shook us to our core about life, about our goals, our careers, everything. And, you know, were we really happy? And we weren't, we couldn't really say that. So we decided, primarily because of the weather, that we wanted to get out of upstate cold New York and we wanted to be around the sun and warm and the beach and all of that. And so we uprooted our lives, quit our jobs, sold our houses, left our families, everything, and moved to Florida. And we went from being like C-level executive, you know, high-level executives in our companies to bottom of the barrel in an area that really, we both came from engineering, manufacturing, and there's not any of that down here in Florida. You see, it's all tourism-based. And so I just, at that point, I mean, I had a couple jobs here and there, and then I just was so unhappy and so unfulfilled. And I thought, this is not why we moved to Florida. I did not come down here to like have my brain go to literal mush in these jobs. And so I just started networking and building relationships. That's what I know. That's what I always rely on is when in doubt, go talk to people. And so I just started networking, which turned into coffee after coffee after coffee. This was pre-COVID. So we were doing everything in person, driving around. And I just started giving a ton. I was just, people were just picking my brain constantly. And finally somebody said, I need to pay you for your time. And I was like, wow, really? And so I think the name of the show is Profit Your Knowledge. Like I took that knowledge for granted and I didn't necessarily profit on it for a long time. And then when finally somebody said like, enough is enough, like you need to stop doing this. Like the advice and knowledge that you're sharing and the strategic advice you need to be charging for. And so that's kind of how the business was born.
Super cool. That's awesome. Yeah. That's a huge thing that, you know, a lot of people, even really successful people, people who really excel at one thing and then they get into this, you know, like maybe they were a financial executive or something and they're like, I'm really good with numbers and like, I can help people do this. But when it comes to them teaching people and then asking for money in exchange for that, there's always like oftentimes there's this little hiccup. If you could have like done it again, what would you have done differently in terms of like those coffee dates, those scenarios and the relationship marketing, anything?
You know, I don't know if I would have done anything because, like we were talking about, before we hit record, is like action creates clarity, or like when in doubt, do the work type of thing. And I really learned a lot in that. You know, I don't know that I would have ever felt confident if I hadn't done that. If I had, I would have just continued to think this was common knowledge that people just, this is what you did. Is that you just kind of went and you built relationships. However, I would really start to, I would encourage people to look at their skills and their knowledge and see if they are continuing to give a lot of advice, or, you know, if they are the go-to person in their circle of influence for some particular topic or skill. Like, really look into that and see, like, can I at least put something, a charge behind it? You know, can I at least charge something for it? It doesn't have to be astronomical, but I definitely probably would have started charging for my time a little bit sooner, or been a little bit more picky about who I had coffee with. You know, about instead of just saying yes to everybody, I would have really gotten a little bit more, or at least done a little bit more homework due diligence
Yeah,
before just driving all
beforehand.
over.
Yeah. You're just like anyone and anyone, anyone and
Yeah, like,
everyone.
sure, I'll drive an hour to come meet you for coffee. Like, let's do it.
You're probably
Yeah.
over-caffeinated, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Too much coffee.
Crazy.
That's cool. So that's how you got the ball kind of rolling, was doing these different interviews, or not really interviews, but just kind of networking, just collaborating and connecting with people. Were you reaching out to these people, or were they reaching out to you, or a bit of both?
It was a bit of both. It was like networking, here in Florida. I feel like some people are just professional networkers. I'll be honest in saying that. Like, you could literally network breakfast, lunch, dinner, happy hour, evening
Whenever.
cocktail. I mean, like, all day, every day. And so from there, the thing that they all do is book one-to-ones, book one-to-ones, book one-to-ones, which is fine. And I believe in that because I'm a huge, huge fan of coffee chats. And I think it's one of the best ways to grow your business. But so that's really kind of how I got started. It's just I went to all these networking groups because I was like, well, I'm trying to figure this out, and what am I going to do? I've got time, so let me go here, let me go here. And then it just turned into all of these one-on-one appointments, that, you know, really just started that ball rolling.
Yeah, that's cool. Did you think you didn't charge enough when you first started? Or what was your
Oh
first kind
yeah.
of like offer that you did where you're like, $100, I got you. I'll scale your
Not
entire
even.
business.
I was charging like $25 an hour when I started, like
Oh.
$25, and people could pay me for an hour of my time, which, you know, I don't regret it. And then I would say I hired my first coach, and she immediately raised me to like $87 an hour, which was such a random amount, but she was just like, you've got to start charging like consultant level rates. Like, you're not an employee anymore. And so that was kind of my first, but it was all very hourly based.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So what do you do now? Do you do like packages or
I
hourly
do.
based
Yeah, it's
packages?
all that. Yeah, it's no, it's not hourly. I really don't do anything hourly. I will do like a one-off, 1 hour, like 60 to 90 minute session, but most of my offers now are a monthly retainer style.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. And packages just in general. It's like thinking about for the listener and coming up with some sort of program instead of charging per hour, that's like paying once every time you go to the gym. But you have to go to the gym, then you have to pay and then go do your workout, or do your workout and then
Yeah.
pay. But it's like you're not gonna be motivated. But if you put down, you know, $3,000 to work out at a gym, you're like, I put the money down and I only have so many slots, like I'm gonna go get it done.
Yeah.
And at this time frame. So it just like psychologically it helps so much. Plus it's nice just to make a bigger paycheck for sure. So you
Yeah.
were doing you're working with these companies and helping them scale and whatnot. What have you done in your own business to create more of this like scalability? And I guess what does that mean? Because I know a lot of people get confused around this term and it gets thrown around loosely.
Yeah, I think too many people jump into scaling too quickly, first of all. Like, I think because the term is thrown around so easily, like, it's time to scale your business. And I actually recorded a podcast episode on my own podcast about like sitting in the growth stage. I think there is a lot of power in sitting in the growth stage of business. And so I think you can continue to grow on your way to scaling. Technically, you know, textbook definition of scaling is making the same amount of money with less overhead. But for me with growth, I think one of the things is diversifying your offers. And I think having a diverse offer suite makes a massive difference as far as growing. If you have, you know, if you can scale one-to-one, I do believe in that. I scale one-to-one through what I call rapid fire type offers, which are unlimited support offers, text, voice, anything. I think people love that on-demand style support. But also too, from a growth perspective, I think having offers at different levels. So whether somebody is a DIY, they want on-demand, is there some type of group or small offering, maybe a larger group mastermind. So I think having a diverse offer suite is one of the best and quickest ways to grow that then will move into scaling eventually.
Yeah. Obviously, like the most scalable, well, it kind of depends, but usually like a membership site is going to be super scalable. And depending on how you set it up, you can I've been in membership sites where the coach shows up, he's inside the community and stuff, but he has a lot of content in there and he shows up once per month for a Q&A. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah, you can definitely do that. I don't think people take into consideration sometimes on the back end how many people they have they're paying to run that membership. So he's maybe scaling his time, but he's not necessarily scaled his costs, right? So I think there's something to consider and think about there too, is if you have to pay people to do that. But yeah, either way, something of that, a one-to-many for the most part is one of the ways people really view scaling the most.
Or having an online course or something like that. Those are great. Yep. Even like group coaching. So in terms of somebody like, you know, they listen to this and they're maybe thinking about updating their product suite. Maybe they're just doing one-on-one coaching, which is usually the first place that most people start. What would you say would be like the next thing you'd recommend? And then the next thing, or does it depend?
Yeah. I mean, it always depends. I tout myself and say like everything is customized to the person and how you best serve. I personally do not enjoy memberships, so it's not a great way for me to scale because I do not like the churn level in memberships. Other people love it and love pumping out the content and do really well with that. I always say like, look at what is the next step for your client, right? If they come into a one-to-one container, what is it that they need after that? If they don't necessarily need to be on your calendar once a week and having these 60-minute calls, what do they need? Do they need to be surrounded by other like minds? Do you need to have like a mastermind style where all of your clients that get through your 6-month program go into a mastermind and now they're helping each other? Do they need accountability? Do they need less or a more one-off like random support? That's where I bring in the unlimited support packages. I think are a great option where you're not putting calls on your calendar. You're just text and voice supporting them through Voxer or an app like that. Or maybe it's taking, another one that I'm a big fan of is like creating frameworks. So if you have where you're constantly repeating the same thing to every client, you're walking them through the same style system, like create a framework around that and sell it at, you know, on an on-demand, whether it's a course or replays, masterclasses, workshops, you know, it doesn't matter, but something where your wash, rinse, repeat. What is it that your clients are constantly asking you? Is there a way that you can create a framework around that that can be sold on demand?
Oh yeah, that's huge. And I was telling you that right before this, I was making I made an email that is scheduled out for later this week. And I use that quote, the work will teach you how to do it. And people just are so wrapped up in their heads of like trying to make the perfect program. And I've heard this from multiple clients, or like making the perfect course and stuff. And I tell them like, start with something simple. Like literally with coaching, if you're really an expert, you know, like with you, Michelle, if I sit in front of you and I'm like, this is what I'm struggling with in terms of scaling my business, this is where I want to be. You know, these are things I think are getting in the way. And you don't even have to have like courses or a coaching program or anything, but just your knowledge. And you would be like, I know exactly what you need to do. You have to go, you have to do this, 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 and this. And I can help you do that. Okay. Yep. So that's all it is. And then you would just help me. But like, you don't need to have a coaching program or anything to do that. And if I were restarting, I would just start having conversations like you were saying and talking with people and then build my program. Because like you said, the more you're talking to people and taking them through a process, you start to see trends. And it's like, everybody pretty much starts right around here, or they have to deal with this or get this set up and then move on to the next steps. And then what I like to do now is I have a new course coming out. So I have a handful of clients going through the process. And as they're going through the process, I am recording the course for them. Yes. I'm making and I'm not just, I mean, some of it's screen record. It kind of depends on the lesson, but I'm making the lessons for these people because they're all dealing with the same stuff. So I'm like, I know the masses are going to be dealing with the same exact issues too.
Exactly.
And then that turns into a standalone product. So it's like, I know people can get stressed or anxious about this, but it's putting the tracks before the train, like while you're on it, which gets a little crazy, but you get so much faster growth and it's just a better product all in all, because you know that it's what people actually want.
It's what people are wanting. Yeah. One of my first business coaches, what she said to me is you only have to stay 1 week ahead. Right. And I'll never forget that. It was like probably one of the best pieces of advice I've ever gotten as a business owner is like, you only have to stay 1 week ahead of your audience. Meaning, so like if you're selling a course or you're creating a course, you only have to be 1 week ahead of them. You don't have to have 6 weeks of content laid out. It could be a 6 week course and you only need to be 1 week ahead. For even for me, a lot of times I run a 5-day program at the end of the year, like a strategic planning program, getting ready to run it. It's a framework I've now created as a framework because I've seen the trend. I literally create day two on day one and day three on day two, right? Like you only have to stay 1 day ahead of them or 1 week ahead. You don't need to be in this creation mode, because again, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what your audience is going to need, the people that are, so let them dictate it. Like you're saying, or, you know, another great way to easily scale or grow is like without getting too crazy is if you run a masterclass or say you run a workshop to a group of people, sell the replay. Like it doesn't need to be anything more than that. Mm. Like literally you can sell the replay. And I think so many people discredit this because they feel like it doesn't look professional or there was Q&A, and the Q&A is usually the best part because that's the questions your audience is asking too. So let them hear it. Like don't cut out the Q&A. That's the best part. So I say sell the replay, host a live show, you know, go live, host a live workshop and then sell the replay. Make some extra money.
So simple. Well, people think, I hear this all the time. They think that they have to have like their program. I just made a piece of content about like content or the program first, which one comes first. And I always say content because that's what markets it. And then you could build your email list and then you can have your program. So you can like focus on content that leads to phone calls, you know, if you're getting started anyway. And then with those calls, you're doing what we're talking about. If it's a 6-week program you want to make, it'll take you 6 weeks to make it because you're taking someone through it and you're just 1 week ahead of them, like you just said. But then you have an email list by that point, and then you can make an offer to your program. But that's really good with selling the replay. But people like, they just want to, you said it earlier too, about the professionalism. They want to see, they think that, oh, if I don't have like a super fancy website, then people are going to discredit me. Or if I don't have this full-fledged coaching program, then people aren't going to want to sign up with me. It's like, people just want help. Like,
and it's the information. You know, if you have something to share and people have an immediate need, like I'm getting ready to, I just put on my website a resale of a workshop that I ran live. I ran the workshop live and I'm getting ready to sell it. And I changed the name. And guess what? I am not re-recording that 2-hour long workshop simply because I changed the name when the content is the same. I literally just changed the name just because I wanted a different framework around it. But the content, everything is the same. So no, I'm not going to re-record the workshop. And to some people that may be like, wow, I can't believe you would do that. But at the end of the day, the client is still going to get at the end of it, the results are still the same. The promised results are still the same, regardless of what the name is. So why am I going to spend another 2.5 hours re-recording something when it's not going to change the outcome of it at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. These are smart decisions because you're really big on saving the time while still growing the business. Mm-hmm. Like, well, also if it's working too, it's like, why would I change it? It's doing fine. Yeah. You know, because it's going to take 2 more hours to record it. And then if you're by yourself,
minimum,
you know,
and then you got to upload it.
Upload.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's going to take five to 10 hours, exactly. Depending. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy. So I want to ask this question because I think it's kind of fun. I feel like you've been around the block long enough to where you probably have a good answer, but what's some common advice in, you know, the business personal development space that you don't necessarily agree with?
Oh gosh, so many. This, I could go on and on about this, but honestly, I think the biggest thing that really sets my soul on fire when it comes to like bad business advice is that there's like one way, right? Like, or that six figures is the be all end all way to success, right? Like, I am so sick of seeing like scale your business to six figures, or I only work with six figure plus whatever, you know, yada, 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 or copy and paste this strategy to get to six figures. Like, I just think all of that is, I am all for six figures. I think we should be, but quite honestly, if you do the math and you really look at the numbers behind six figures, like six figures is a great number to strive for, but like, let's talk multiple six figures because, you know, at the end of the day, if you want to bring home a decent revenue, you need multiple six figures if you're really striving for that. But that's a topic for another day. But my point is that there isn't one specific way and there is no definition of success. None. Like, I talked to somebody yesterday who said to me, I want to work 4 hours a day. I want to work 4 hours a day, 4 days a week and make $4,000 a month. That's not anywhere close to six figures.
Like, but that's four grand what's a worth. Month? $8,000. Like, but yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. But like, that's it. Like, that's all she wants to do. And I was like, well, God, like, that's easy. And she's like, maybe I want to go beyond that eventually. But right now she's got kids at home. She has different things that are a priority to her. And she doesn't necessarily have to make any more money than that. So in her world, that will make her feel very fulfilled. And I think that is so important to remember, that whether your goal is to make an extra $1,000 a month from your knowledge or to make an extra $100,000 a month from your knowledge, they're all wonderful and amazing goals and they're yours and you get to decide it and you get to decide how you're going to get there.
Yeah, no, I think that's so big. And I've talked about this before on the podcast, but I've invested in coaches and I've been like, I'm going to follow exactly what they say. And it just feels like I'm a square being shoved into a circle hole. And I'm like, this just isn't right. It doesn't work for me. And I think in my head, like, that makes sense. And then funny enough, when I go do the thing that made sense to me, it ends up working. And I'm like, okay, maybe I should trust myself a little bit more.
That's exactly it. Like, I always tell myself, just believe in yourself. You know, I mean, yes, there are certain things that you don't know and there's certain knowledge you don't have and there's best practices and there's ways to do things more strategically, maybe with a little bit, you know, more efficiently or effectively. But at the end of the day, like, if it doesn't feel good to you, don't do it. You know, I don't, I just think there's too many people in the world of business spewing must do's.
Yeah. Well, it's funny too, because they say you have to do this, or this is the only way because it's the only way that worked for them, but it doesn't mean that it's the only way.
It's not the only way, because I can, you know, like, go walk down the street in your local city or town. Every single one of those business owners has built their business differently. So there is no one right way.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a cool quote. I forgot who was by, but he said, all businesses are loosely functioning disasters and some are profitable despite it. I was like, it's so funny. It's just like, it could be kind of chaotic, but yeah, you got to just, like you said, it's important to invest in yourself, to learn things. You were talking before we hit record about how you don't think that if people are starting out, they necessarily need to invest a ton in themselves. You said something about that, right? I mean, like, into like coaching or something.
I think there's a time and a place for it, but I also think that many times in the beginning, a big, massive coaching program is not always the best fit for somebody just starting out. I think there is a lot of knowledge gained in simple trial and error. And I think so many people are afraid to just try it. Like, what is the worst that's going to happen? You put an offer out there, it doesn't sell. You put an offer out there, it sells and it's too low priced. Okay, raise your price up, right? Like, there's so much knowledge that's gained by just simply doing. And sometimes hiring somebody too soon can give you a lot of like influence on things that you wouldn't necessarily have done if you were just trying it on your own. So I'm not saying do this for years, but even the first 6 months to a year, like just put yourself out there, try it. If it feels good to you, go for it. Like when I hired my first coach, it was six or seven. Like I told you, I started out at $25 an hour. In that moment, it felt right. It felt good because it was, you know, more at that point than I was getting hired as an employee down here, which is sad, but it is what it is. So it felt good. It felt good to do that. And so I learned from it, you know, and then when she encouraged, so I just think trying it, you know, don't be so quick to spend your money, go make your money, go make some money.
Yeah. Yeah. People need to be way more proactive. I didn't do that for so long. I spent literal years like thinking I was being productive, but I forgot where I heard it from, but someone was like, basically the amount of success you're going to have is how many times a month you could say, here's what it looks like to work with me. Here's how much it is. Do you want to do it?
Yeah. That's exactly it. Here's who I am. Here's what I do. And here's how you can pay me. Right.
Right.
Those are the three things you need.
And like getting people to that conversation. So I was just like, okay, how many of those conversations have I had this month? And I'm like, zero, you know,
that's That is the one thing. If I were to do it all over again, I really would focus in on sales. If there's any skill that you want to hone in on as a business owner, I think sales, because sales cures everything, right? Like sales is the answer to everything. If you can master the art of selling, and not be afraid of it, not be intimidated by it, businesses run on money and sales. Mm. I think that is one of the best places to start.
Yeah. And I think people make sales too complicated. I mean, really, like I have people with coaching clients and they're like, I got to put this program together. Like I was saying earlier. And I'm like, dude, just talk to them. Where are they at? Where do they want to be? What's getting in the way? Why haven't they done it yet? Okay. I know exactly what you need to do. Do you want my help? Yes. Here's what it looks like. It's going to be exactly. X amount. Here's 500 bucks, you know, or 10 grand or whatever it is that you offer. And that's really it. So people think selling is selling when really selling is just helping people.
Yeah. There's just so much negativity and negative thoughts and around selling. But at the end of the day, like it's just conversations. Go talk to people. They either want it or you're not. I just was telling somebody like, and it's also not up for you to decide how other people spend their money. And we do this. This is what gets in the way of sales is like, I'm going to have a call with you. Now I've already decided, well, he's probably only here. He's a year into business. He's only struggling with this. I don't know. His budget's probably only... It's not up for me to decide how you spend your money. Mm-hmm. Here's who I am. Here's what I do. Here's what it costs. You are an adult. You get to decide that. So don't put any preconceived notions in your head. Just present your offer and they're either going to say yes or they say no.
Yeah.
That's the end of it.
Yeah. Right. Totally. Yeah. People just, it comes down to insecurities. And I think like the not being able to identify and like really, I guess your identity and being able to put on the identity that this is what I do. It took me a long time to embody the fact that I was a coach, you know, and then even moving into helping people with business, I was nervous about getting into this niche because of what you were talking about. It's like, it's just, it's crowded, it's crazy, it's chaotic, but I'm like, I know I have something that can help people. And then I started helping people and they were making money. And that's when I was helping people get better results, that's what helped me put on more of that identity and have more confidence. And now it's just like, this is what I do, you know? And then that confidence shows up when you show up in conversation and whatnot. So awesome.
Yeah,
love the advice. Michelle, we're going to come in here for a landing, but I do want to know, I just want to say thank you so much for the time, first of all.
You.
And where can people learn more about you and get connected?
On LinkedIn is where I hang out on socials for sure. So LinkedIn, just my name on LinkedIn. And then I do also have a podcast of my own. I'd love to have you on as a guest too, James. We've got to get you over there, but it's called The Real Truth About Business. And that's where I really promote most or put my best content. All my content goes into my podcast. So The Real Truth About Business and or LinkedIn.
Awesome. We will put some links down in the description. I would love to be on your podcast too, by the way. We can talk about that.
Yeah, definitely gonna get you on there.
That'd be fun. Cool. For the listener, we talked about quite a few things today, but you know, I mean, Michelle definitely focuses on more established businesses. So if you're in that range, and, you know, it's, I mean, it's always worth just reaching out to her and having a conversation. But I know a lot of people listen to the show and they're kind of getting the ball rolling. So it's fun just to hear how Michelle did it. And it comes down to just having conversations with people, you know, and like, if I could redo it, it would be getting out there, talking to the people, like thinking about who I want to help. For example, if I was like, I really want to coach professional athletes, I'm going to go talk to professional athletes. How do I get in front of them? Go to an event, like talk to them, make a podcast. Like, I don't know, just get in a conversation with professional athletes. And then those conversations will lead to opportunities where you can help people, you know, if you know how to actually help them. And then, yeah, when you start working with people and just helping them for a cost, then, or an investment, you will, then you can build a program from there and just like, just get out there. Like, that's what makes sense to me. But if you hear that and it's like, well, I do it a bit different, then go do it that way. Like, it doesn't matter. Just get out there and do the work. That's the most important thing. Remember that implementation is your only superpower, implementation. So get out there, make something happen, and we will see you in the next one.